KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's cloudy and 70 degrees in Atlantic. We look for some areas of fog this morning. Otherwise, skies will be mostly cloudy. It'll become windy with a high around 81 degrees and a chance of rain. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department reports four arrests over the past few days. Sunday night, 48-year-old Anita Michael of Des Moines was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on Union County warrants for failure to appear on an original charge of driving while suspended, failure to appear on an original charge of simple assault, and failure to appear on original charge of possession of controlled substance second offense and OWI first offense. Michael was being held for Union County in the Adams County Jail on a $5,600 bond. Also arrested Sunday in Creston was 44-year-old Robin Haskins of Afton. Hoskins was arrested for OWI first offense and later released from the Union County Jail on a $1,000 bond. And 21-year-old Gregory Welcher of Thayer was arrested on an Adams County warrant for failure to appear. He was released from the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. Last Friday, 32-year-old Jessica Shadley of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended, and she was later released on a $300 bond. Creston police said also a woman residing in the 600 block of North Cherry Street reported Friday that sometime between the early morning hours of Friday and September 6th, someone stole her Troy-built self-propelled lawnmower from the yard of her residence. The loss was estimated at $500. And on Sunday, a woman residing in the 600 block of South Poplar Street in Creston reported that sometime between 9 p.m. Saturday and 7 a.m. Sunday, the rear driver's side window of a vehicle parked at her residence was broken out. The damage was estimated at $300. Well, if you can't make it to the State Historical Museum in Des Moines, why not let it come to Audubon? That's the idea behind the State Historical Society of Iowa's History on the Move Mobile Museum, a bright blue, custom-built Winnebago that travels the state's highways and back roads to share stories from the past. The Museum on Wheels currently houses a 300-square-foot exhibition called Iowa History 101 and is filled with artifacts from the state's Historical Society collection. The Mobile Museum will offer free self-guided tours at the Nathaniel Hamlin Park and Museum on U.S. Highway 71, 1 mile south of Audubon, during Fallapalooza this Sunday, September 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. State Historical Society of Iowa Administrator Susan Claver says this exhibition shares some of the essential stories that every Iowan should know about who we are and what we've achieved since Iowa became a state more than 170 years ago. She says, "We're delighted to bring this traveling exhibition to Audubon, and we encourage all Iowans to learn about our state's rich heritage." Like a visit to the grandparents' attic, the exhibition unpacks stories of Iowa's past with nearly 50 artifacts, including a battered miner's cap worn by Carl Coughlin, a Marion County coal miner, a 1917 prototype of the state flag designed by Dixie Cornell Gebhardt of Knoxville, a pen Governor William Harding used to ratify the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote, a basketball jersey Lynn Lorenzen wore during her glory days at Ventura High School. Also included among the collection is an Olympic medal from sprinter Natasha Kaiser Brown of Des Moines and a patch from a spacesuit worn by astronaut Peggy Whitson of Beaconsfield. As a bonus, Mike Wolfe, the creator and star of the television series American Pickers, lent his voice and video talents to the exhibition's multimedia elements. A native of LeClaire, Wolfe has a long-standing interest in history and a knack for using artifacts to unlock its stories. The idea for the Mobile Museum emerged in 2014 from a series of community conversations organized by the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, which oversees the State Historical Society. Iowans who care deeply about history made it clear they want new ways to access the state's historical museum's resources. Accordingly, the 30-foot-long Winnebago will visit all Iowa 99 counties over the course of 3 years through this year, with stops at schools, libraries, local museums, community festivities, festivals and county fairs and other places. Anyone who'd like to request a visit can find details online at iowaculture.gov, along with an updated schedule. The traveling exhibition, which is sponsored by EMC Insurance Companies, Casey's General Stores, and ISU Extension and Outreach, is one of a trio of Iowa History 101 shows. Visitors to the State Historical Museum in Des Moines can find both a traditional museum exhibition plus an interactive hands-on gallery designed especially for children. Again, more information is available at iowaculture.gov or by calling 515-281-5111. A woman from Canton, South Dakota, died during a rollover accident involving her minivan Sunday evening in far northwest Iowa. The state patrol says 40-year-old Barbara Roseboom was driving a 2012 Honda Odyssey northbound on Lyon County Road A54B when, for reasons unknown, the vehicle hit a field drive and rolled over before coming to rest on its top on the road. Roseboom died at the scene. Authorities say she was wearing her seatbelt. The accident remains under investigation. A Minnesota company plans to break ground this Wednesday on a northern Iowa facility for growing tomatoes. The North Iowa Corridor Economic Development Corporation says the $35 million Bushel Boy Farms facility in Mason City will bring about 50 jobs to northern Iowa. The first harvest from the 50-acre operation is expected in December 2020. Bushel Boy is based out of Owatonna, Minnesota. Iowa's game bird populations have seen a bit of a resurgence in recent years, but the drop in the number of hunters has kept the harvest numbers moving back to past levels. Iowa Department of Natural Resources wildlife biologist Todd Bogenschutz says some of the hunters were lost during the bird population drop.
Some just don't go out. Others kind of move to other things like deer and turkey or waterfowl are more abundant. I think some do go out of state, where things sound better, they'll go to Kansas for quail or South Dakota for pheasants.
Andy says another reason for the drop in the hunters' core group is that they're getting older.
That baby boom generation is tailing off. A lot of our upland hunters are hitting that 60-ish range and, aren't as avid as they used to be. And so we're on that side of that curve. And so we got all the millennials and stuff here, but they're not quite as outdoor oriented as maybe the previous generations.
Bogenschutz says the DNR is trying to get younger people to give hunting a try.
Trying to engage them in the outdoors instead of, just looking at smartphones and computer screens.
And he says that they follow the three R's when it comes to hunting: retention of the current hunters, reactivating hunters who haven't been out in a while, and recruitment of new hunters into the fold. Trap shooting has become a more popular sport in high schools, and Bogenschutz says it's something that kids can get kids to move into hunting.
Certainly, yeah. I think our data shows that we do have some transition there. The archery in the schools program, the trap shooting, is definitely probably the highest we've ever seen it as far as schools go. So that's a good thing. But what we're finding through some of the surveys and stuff is if you don't come from a hunting family, even though you're exposed to that kind of stuff, people just don't go do it. They kind of need a friend to take them or a family member.
Bogenschutz says they are trying to respond to that survey information by offering more mentor-type programs.
Taking those first-time people hunting two or three times in a season, four times, and, then they get some comfort level with it, and then they're willing to kind of go out on their own or invite a friend, and so those are showing a lot more. When you give them that kind of environment, then they're much more likely to the next year buy a license and go out hunting.
He says there have been plenty of birds out there to support more hunters, and they just need to continue working on increasing the hunter base. Elsewhere in the news, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is on a tailgate tour of Iowa's three state universities, speaking to supporters who backed his 2016 bid for president, as well as students who've just become old enough to vote in 2020. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Sanders spoke on the University of Iowa and Iowa State University campuses Sunday. He'll be on UNI's campus in Cedar Falls over the noon hour today. During a speech in Ames, Sanders emphasized his proposals to cancel college debt and make public colleges and universities tuition-free. Sanders used a barnyard epithet as he told the students they must get involved in politics if they want problems solved.
We have a president who believes that climate change is a hoax. Well, in my view, Donald Trump is a hoax.
Most of the crowd's largest cheers were for this and other Sanders swipes at President Trump. Richard Phelps of Mingo supported Sanders in 2016 and will again in 2020.
I like what he says, and I don't think he's too old.
Phelps volunteered that opinion about Sanders' age. Sanders turned 78 on Sunday.
That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.